We are mostly live and completely local. This is Metro South Podcasting.
Welcome to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us and how it affects us here on the South Shore of Massachusetts. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. I'm Ron Van Dam. Ron Van Dam Show. Ho, ho, ho. How you doing, kids? Good to be with you on this fine, beautiful day. Look at the size of this day outside today. Gonna be nice. Friday, September 26th, in the year of our Lord. And also our... whatever. Welcome to the program. My name is indeed Ron Van Dam. That's what they call me. That's only a tag. It doesn't define me. It simply separates me from people named Bob Smith. So when you see me, instead of going, hey, you with the stars in your eyes, you can simply say my name and I'll probably respond with a, hey, what do you want? What do you want with me? Today on the program, got quite a few things going on. We're going to talk to some peeps today. Shannon Cook is, she's pretty cool, actually. Shannon Cook is pretty cool. She used to be on the Headline News thing with Robin Mead, that morning show. Man, two good-looking ladies. I'm not being superficial. They're just, like, really good-looking ladies. Shannon's going to be with us this morning. We're going to talk about music tastes in the universities across the country, but basically in the Boston area. Those of you that are into music might be curious as to what the music tastes are in a certain area. They've done a survey recently, and we're going to speak to Shannon about that. She is so attractive. Google her, so to speak. That doesn't mean stick your finger in her. That means, that sounds like it, doesn't it? It's like there's a woman standing here. I think I'll Google her. That just sounds totally wrong. But go on your international highway of Al Gore, and you can... she's a very attractive lady. I'm sure she goes out of her way to be attractive, so let's make her happy. And then we're going to speak to Daryl Roberts, who's a writer and producer and director. He's there's a new film coming out called America the Beautiful 3. And Carolyn Costin's going to join him and me. She's with an eating disorder treatment center. This is about what I'm basically talking about. It's about women who starve themselves in order to look good. This has been going on forever. But in this country, says filmmaker Daryl Roberts, it's one of these documentary things that points things out. So we're supposed to go, I should think about that. He points out how society and social media and the movies and television shows and magazines make us stride to be like skinny and perfect body-wise, which isn't a bad idea, but when you starve yourself and you go on crash diets to achieve that, gets a little dangerous. So we're going to talk about that. My point was this has been going on since the beginning of time. I don't see why it's any different now, but they say it's like worse than ever. So, fine. This is being recorded on Friday, September 26th, 2014, in the year of my tailor. He's making my pants right now. Boy, when's the last time someone had pants made for them? You know, there was a time in history well before I was born, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much, when people used to have their clothes made. They would go to a tailor, and the tailor would measure the inseam, which I think was the point of the whole thing, just so these guys could measure other guys' inseams. I don't know. In what other situation would a guy on purpose take a tape measure and stick it in your crotch? Not often. Not often. If you order a corned beef sandwich on rye with mustard, they don't take a tape measure to your crotch. I guarantee you they don't. Well, it depends on the delicatessen, I suppose, but usually not. Although there is this one Subway run by this very strange kid, and he does that. Anyway, people used to have their pants actually made for them, and I'm just thinking, why? What's the point of that? People have suits made for them so that they can fit exactly. Have a suit made for you? Is that a little, what's the word? Pompous? I think so. But those that have money are able to do so, I suppose. You can do anything. Hey, there was a 6.2 magnitude earthquake in Alaska. 6.2 on your rectum scale. An earthquake in Alaska. Residents just assumed it was another Palin backyard barbecue. That's because she's always creating trouble with her family. But that's true. They did have... Yeah, apparently there's a shirt that has been circulated online, which you can buy. And on the T-shirt, it says there's a picture of a hand making a heart, you know, one of those heart designs. And now instead of saying "I love you," you just simply take your fingers and you create the shape of a heart. Yeah, I think we're all turning into deaf mutes for some reason. We don't talk anymore. We just text and we make symbols with our hands. That's what we do. Anyway, the T-shirt says the following, which just has disgusted so many people. It says, "It's not rape, it's a snuggle." It's not rape, it's a snuggle. So it's like a pro-rape T-shirt, and it's been selling like hotcakes. Why? Because it's America. And anything that offends is very cool now, right? If you're not the mainstream, then you're cool. And this has been like, you know, what kids usually do, but now it's not kids. It's just like full-grown adults are just becoming assholes. I there's some kind of a gigantic asshole club that's been formed in this country. It's called the Republican Party. Hey, stop that. Don't do that, Ron. There's an asshole club, I gotta tell you, and you don't need a secret knock to get in. It's like rampant. And if you record Fox News, the Fox News channel, and you play it backwards, it's the asshole club. It's the secret to the asshole club. It is, yes. Did you know that the war on ISIS, basically the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, I mean, see, I don't even know what the war is anymore. I think now it started out with the Bush babies as the war on Iraq, and then, of course, it spread to Afghanistan, and now it's back to Iraq, and, of course, soon it'll be back to Afghanistan, and a little bit of Syria thrown in, and a couple of dashes of other countries, and you got yourself a nice little war going on there. Is this a world war? Would you call that a world war? I think if you're fighting in a couple of different theaters, and I'm not talking about like the Randolph Showcase theaters, I'm talking about like, you know, like theaters of war. Is that a world war? Don't know. Are we in one? Not sure. Here's the cost of this freaking war. Now listen to me, and I'm not saying that it's not necessary at this moment, because this ISIS or ISIL, I wish they'd figure out which they're going to be or what we're going to call them. They are, there's been terror groups for like decades and decades, and they become more prolific. And of course, the scary part of it, as they become more prolific, do they get funding? And do they start to have like real heavy weapons that can actually like, as opposed to the horrible stuff that's already happened, but it's been small scale horrible, you know, like building a bomb and detonating a bomb is like horrific. Flying a plane into a couple of buildings is horrific, but like anybody could really do it. You just hijack the planes, and thus you have the 9/11 situation. It had to be orchestrated, but not that greatly so, because we didn't expect it. Getting these explosive devices through security and detonating them is not as easy, although in Boston, not too tough, but not anymore. So, I mean, sometimes, I hate to say this because thousands of people die as a result, but the only way you learn, the only way you can defend yourself is to make like gigantic mistakes or to have let your guard down so that you can have some good that comes out of bad. I was saying to Casella, who indeed is politically ignorant, in my estimation, or environmentally ignorant. David, love you, but ignorant. And you can call me ignorant, too. That's fine. I was saying to him, and we were agreeing, I mean, there's no question about it, our society is changing. And by the time our children grow up, they will be living in a society which they're very used to living in European countries at this point. It's not the end of the world, but it's horrible. Where every day you have to understand that anything can happen to you at any moment because of terrorism. We haven't had that in this country. We have it like once every 10 or 11 years. We have a horrific situation on our soil, terror-wise, to that extent. In other countries, it's like daily and weekly. So I'm just saying, hold on to your horses for that one. Life could change very soon. I don't know why. I don't know. There's just too many assholes on the planet. I really think so. There should be a day of reckoning, and all the assholes are drop into the center of the earth, which is like stupid. But you know, I'm just making an example. Anyway, war for the United States. How much does it cost the taxpayers for this ISIS, this Iraq thing? How much has it cost us? All the way back to the first Iraq situation, well, the second Iraq situation with Saddam. It's approximately $365,000 per hour. That translates into, get this, kids, it's a lot. It's just a lot. It's just a lot. It's just a lot. It's almost $10 million a day. That's how much it costs this country, $10 million a day to do this warfare stuff. And that's not with the ground troops or anything like that. Actually, Casella said something interesting. He said Barack Obama's mistake was to say publicly to the American people that we're going to be waging a war on terror through airstrikes. And we have no plans to put any of our people on the ground, any of our soldiers on the ground. And people say, oh man, you're showing your hand. No, you're not. Because any day now, if things get really worse, he can change his mind and say, hey, I said we're not going to put any ground troops in, but because of what these assholes are doing, now we are. I mean, it really, I just find that such an insignificant a comment to be made, like you're showing your hand. And they also say, hey, Obama has no plan. That he has no plan. He's waging this war against ISIS, and he's got no plan for how to carry this all the way through. And I say to those people, how do you know he doesn't? You're saying to him, you're saying, hey, you're showing your hand by saying that you're definitely not going to put ground troops into this war. You're showing your hand. And then they yell at him for the same thing, for not showing his hand, about what the plan is. Well, stupid. The plan is the strategy. You don't say that publicly. And that's why you people apparently are assholish and charter members of this club, of this asshole club. Excuse my language, but it's just so... Maybe if everybody shut up. If everybody shut up, I'll stop doing a podcast. How about that? Everybody just shut up. I'll shut up too, and we'll just go about our lives. You shut up. I'll shut up. and that way you won't piss me off. Kim Jong-un, he's the North Korean honcho there, that short little Dennis Rodman kiss-ass guy. He hasn't been seen in 3.5 weeks in North Korea. Nobody in North Korea knows why. He's missed a couple of very traditional functions that are always attended by the big man in North Korea, but he didn't show to either of them. And it has been 3.5 weeks since he's been seen. People say that they think it's because he's getting pretty pudgy that he might have some illness and some medical issues, and he doesn't want to be seen in public in anything other than his grandeur and his strength and power and full health. So that's what's up with him, they believe. But he hasn't been seen in 3.5 weeks, which is so sad. So sad. The new iPhone is having some problems and actually caused the stock market to somewhat tumble greatly yesterday. The Dow was down like 200 points, one of the worst days of the year. And all the markets were down, and it was basically because the iPhone apparently has got some problems, some operating system problems. It apparently bends. The actual phone itself, you can curve it and bend it, and you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to do that. It's not supposed to bend. So Apple stocks, everybody said, whoa, I'm out of here. And the Apple stocks have plummeted. And the other reason is because the stock market is very insecure about what's happening globally, where everything seems to be a problem across the globe. So the financial stability is questionable. That's another reason for the tumble yesterday. And inflation is apparently creeping up because we've come out of our economic woes to a great extent. Only took us 6 years to do it. But apparently we're coming out of it, and now the stock market is concerned about interest rates rising. I mean, what is the stock market? Are they like babies or something? Do they have no balls? I mean, want to grow a pair? Does that make any sense? What's the problem with you guys? What are you? Someone sneezes and the market drops? What the hell's wrong with you guys? God forbid someone should flush a toilet somewhere nearby. I'm like, oh, sell all the toilet stock. Stupid. Stupid stuff. Apparently the iPhone is not supposed to bend, and if you take your new iPhone, which is very thin and made of a different type of alloy, you can actually bend the phone. You can actually bend it, and... Here's the clue so that your iPhone doesn't bend. Don't bend your iPhone. How about that? How about that idea? I mean, seriously. So Apple's got some problems. I mean, maybe it's too light, maybe. Or if it bends, bend it back. I don't know what the hell to tell you. I mean, you're old enough to figure this out yourself. You wanted that damn thing so much. You stood in line for it like for 6 weeks or whatever you did. Like it was a Star Wars movie or something, you know. You're going to stand in line for something, get a life. That's what I say. I say get a life. That's certainly what I say. All right. I'm Ron Van Dam. How you doing? And you're listening to the Metro South Podcasting, the Ron Van Dam Show. And I'm just so joyous that you're here.
Thanks to Metro South Podcasting, now you can get your Ron Van Dam anytime you want, as much Ron Van Dam as you want, any way you like to take your Ron Van Dam. Wow, this is getting really uncomfortable for me to read. Ron, did you write this way
No.
on purpose? Did you even read this out loud to yourself to see how it sounds?
Nope.
Yeah, actually, you know, you probably did. Okay. It's the Ron Van Dam Show on Metro South Podcasting. Go with it.
You go with it. We're going to say hello now to Daryl Roberts. He's a writer, producer, and director of a new film called America the Beautiful 3. And it's about all of us being bombarded by sexual images. Carolyn Costin is going to join us as well. She's saying that people are eating real weird in order to comply with these images so they can be just like it. This interview was conducted yesterday afternoon. We play it for you right now. I'm joined by Daryl Roberts, who is a writer, producer, and director, and Carolyn Costin, who's the founder, author, and chief clinical officer of Montanito and Affiliates Eating Disorder Treatment Centers. This is about a film project called America the Beautiful 3. And Daryl, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking.
I have to care, and that's why I ask you. Why did you go into this subject matter, America the Beautiful 3, the sexualization of our youth, which is an extremely interesting topic? Why did you decide to go into this?
Basically, I had run across a report from the American Psychological Association called The Sexualization of Girls,
yep.
And they really outlined how sexualized images are affecting young girls. And they, you know, there's a group of the leading psychologists in the country, and they said that these images combined are causing eating disorders, body dissatisfaction, and low self-esteem in young girls. And they said that is now at a point of being a mental health crisis.
Oh.
And I started thinking about that. You know, you're a 10-year-old girl with a mental health crisis, and when you look at it, it's not directly correlated.
Yeah.
The rise in depression is going up where they're giving out pills and that kind of stuff, and it just made me know that I wanted to do something to start a conversation. So I was lucky because I did the film, and I joined up with Montanito Treatment Center. It's an eating disorder treatment center in Malibu, but it's not really just an eating disorder treatment center because the clinical director, Carolyn Costin, actually cares about these same issues. So I look at it this way. It's like a mechanic at a garage. I go through the front door and raising the issues, and the car comes out the back door where Carolyn helps,
cool.
treat people.
Very cool. I wish Carolyn Costin was available to speak to us.
She's on the line.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I'm only kidding. Okay. I'm making believe.
I'm here. You got your wish.
I was trying to go for the theater, but it didn't work out. Okay. Hey, this is very, very interesting. This has been going on, though, for generations, this type of image that people feel that they have to live up to. Has it gotten worse in your mind, Carolyn?
Oh, absolutely, it's gotten worse. I mean, part of the reason is it's more accessible, especially when we go all the way to the more serious aspects of the film that we talk about in terms of pornography, for example.
Yeah.
You know, there's easy access, it's free, and it's anonymous.
Yeah.
And those are the things that there are, and it starts at an earlier age. So young women and young men are exposed to either anywhere from the toddlers and tiara pageants like that,
sure,
all the way up to gonzo porn, you know. So it's definitely worse, and we definitely see people coming in for treatment who have been affected and feel like they're objectified, and they lose confidence in their ability to even see their bodies as being something of value.
You know, yes, go on, Daryl.
No, I'm sorry. I just want to add to what Carolyn said. To be clear about it, two of the main things that have made it actually worse are cell phones and the internet.
Sure.
With young people. So technological accessibility.
Agreed.
And to put it in a perspective where you get it, young kids under 17 get 20,000 media impressions a day.
Sure.
And they get 2,000 impressions a day from their parent.
Yep.
So now you can see that the fight isn't fair.
It's totally not fair, and I mean, the media has always fed into this as well. Miley Cyrus really bothers me because here she was a teenage idol who stood for some decent goodness, and then all of a sudden, she's given the picture that as you grow up, you should become sexual. It just, it just bothers me. And you're right, it's a bombardment of that attitude.
Yeah, so even now, people like Taylor Swift, during last month, they have this thing like to get attention on the red carpet, you have to be sexually scandalous. And she's starting to wear these sexual clothes so that she can get attention on the red carpet. You know, with the Hollywood stars, it's all about sex on the red carpet, which translates to, you know, a subculture, you know, in our youth. People like, and I hate to say it, but it's true, Rihanna and people like that, that's just, it's not good for our youth.
Well, no.
To see the kind of behavior.
I understand what you're both saying is as you strip away the clothing and become more sexual, your body has to be maintained, and that, as you're saying with Carolyn, turns into various types of disorders in order to achieve that superficially. And I can see how that can get pretty dangerous.
Yeah, that's part of it. And part of it is certainly trying to achieve the super beautiful, thin ideal.
Yeah.
And the other part of it is the consequences that happen when people have been bullied or people have been sexually abused or sexually harassed.
Yeah.
Then that turns into a whole host of other correlated problems, you know, low self-esteem and wanting to hide your body or feel ashamed or disgusted with your body, and that can also cause a lot of psychiatric problems, among which is eating disorders.
So this film, America the Beautiful 3, The Sexualization of Our Youth, opens it up for discussion and kind of puts it in our face, like, just take a look at what you're doing here.
Yeah, it puts it like way in your face where you won't be able to ignore it. And the purpose is, you know, to start a discussion, like, what are we going to do to, I won't say save, but to help our youth.
Yeah.
Like, I want each person to come up with what they're going to do, because ultimately, I think we look at the problem as being so big, but in reality, if you go to the each one, teach one theory, if everyone made a conscious decision to do something in their life, the world would just be a whole lot better. It won't be perfect, but it'd be a whole lot better than it is now.
You know, the internet has brought on some great, wonderful positives and pros, but it's also brought with it some horrible, horrible, devastating negatives, and this is probably one of them.
And we just think that people, you know, a lot of people, when we travel around with all these films, people do sort of wake up when they watch it. They do want to do something. And what I love about this film is that there's a female heroine in this film who takes her issues with having an eating disorder and turns it into being an activist, and she actually affects some change. So there is a positive note to this film in ways that you can see things can be done.
Well, there have been a few actresses who have died of eating disorders, and I'm sure that's brought to light as well. So where can we get more information about this? Oddly enough, the internet, I suppose.
Yes, on the internet. You can go to the sponsor's webpage, which is www.montanido.com, M-O-N-T-E-N-I-D-O.com. Or you can go to America the Beautiful Doc. So America the Beautiful DOC.com.
Beautiful. Well, anything that that resolves situations, the fact that you two have hooked up and have brought this to light is important. Thank you for doing so. And it's been a pleasure speaking to you both.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us. Yes.
Thank you. Take care now. Daryl Roberts, the writer, producer, and director, and Carolyn Costin, who is with the Montanito and Affiliates Eating Disorder Treatment Center. Thank you again.
Lovely, 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 lovely people. Shannon Cook, got crackers in my mouth. Crackers.
And crackers in my mouth. Shannon Cook, lovely, beautiful girl. Talking about music and what the college students like. She talks about the Boston area. Shannon's, actually I've talked to her before. She's really adorable. She's an adorable little girl. I mean, these crackers are really good. I'm eating oyster crackers. They're not really oysters. It's like chicken fingers. There's no chicken involved. Well, there's no fingers involved. There is chicken. I think it's chicken. There are no fingers involved. Oyster crackers, they're crackers, but there's no oysters involved. I think you put it in oyster stew or something. I have no idea. Anyway, Shannon and I played the hello game at the beginning of this interview. This also was recorded yesterday. Here we go. Good morning. All right, you go first.
Okay. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Shannon.
How are you?
Good. We're talking to Shannon Cook, who has been all over television. Actually, you're part of one of my favorite shows on HLN. We enjoy you there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Robin Mead, you're a fan of Robin Mead?
Well, it's a good show. It's fluffy, but it's good.
And who isn't a fan of Robin? She's so much fun. I really like her. I really miss her. I don't live in Atlanta anymore, so I don't care, but she's a delight.
Oh, boy. Well, but you are doing something really interesting.
She's rather attractive, too.
I didn't notice. I just listen. I don't. Anyway. Okay, now we're talking about a survey that was done among universities across America, and some of it actually has to do with the region from which our market intensifies, which is the Boston area. What is this survey about?
Well, we're interested to see how students listen to music and what music they're listening to. So we honed in on all universities across the U.S., and we focused on the 40 top schools for music streaming. So we looked at our subscribers at each university and got a real feel for which styles of music they're listening to, which artists they're listening to, which artists they're not listening to. And we could also get a feel for their listening habits. We found that students tend to listen to music till really late at night, and then we see a huge drop-off where we assume that they've gone to bed. And then in the morning, there's a huge surge of streaming, and so we can assume safely then that that's when they've woken up. It seems that students are listening to music a lot, almost every minute of their waking day for some of them, I would expect.
Sure.
You and I are just going to have this kind of a relationship, aren't we? We need to go back to the walkie-talkie age. Should I say over after I've said everything?
Yeah, well, you know, going back to the days when they had regular telephones with cords and things, that was kind of like worked better. I don't know.
I have
no idea. Anyway, okay. As we were, I have no idea how old you are, but I think you're like 17. Is that right?
More like 19.
Okay,
fine.
That's what I
said. You were close.
Okay. When I was growing up, yeah, I listened to music day and night, and I'm sure you did as well.
Yeah, but I didn't listen to music when I studied.
Oh.
I'm one of those people who I need to concentrate without music.
Okay.
But we're finding more and more that students are actually listening to music loudly while they're studying.
Oh.
And it's not... And you know how studies have come out that show that listening to Mozart, listening to classical music is actually advantageous. You know, it helps you to memorize facts and information, especially for math students. But now some people are saying that it's actually helpful to listen to music with lyrics, like pop music or rock music. And it might even depend on the discipline that you're studying. One psychologist I spoke to said that if you're a creative person, you know, maybe you're into the arts or creative writing, listening to pop songs with really emotive choruses can actually be helpful. It can get your creative juices flowing. And another interesting thing that came out of this study is that we were able to identify the peak listening time all across the country for all the schools. And
that
time, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So... That, to me, that suggests that that's probably when a lot of classes are wrapping for the day, and students are actually sitting down and trying to get some study done. And it looks like they've got their earbuds in and their headphones on, and they're streaming music while actually getting some work done. Or while cruising through Facebook.
Interesting.
That's what they're really doing.
Now, so this is a change because, again, radio used to be that there was no streaming when I was in university. So streaming is like, percentage-wise, where do you feel streaming is as opposed to turning on a radio?
I couldn't really, it's hard to compare streaming with radio. They're very, very different. I couldn't give you a percentage, but I can say that streaming is just, it is the preferred method of music listening to for online people.
Okay.
And it's just getting more and more popular, and artists are now embracing it a lot more, and more people, specifically young people, are coming to Spotify via their mobile phones. But radio is still very important. If you're an artist and you want to get heard, you want to break, radio is still an important key, an important part of breaking you as an artist and getting your music.
But not as much as streaming, I think, though, at this point. I think radio is going to be a bygone era someday soon. I really do.
Well, you can come work at Spotify when that happens. How does that sound?
See, you said it verbally on record, and that wasn't a good idea because I'm going to hit you up for a job eventually, I'm sure. Anyway.
Do you want to hear about Northeastern University?
Yeah, let's talk about that. We only have about another minute, so let's get into that, yes.
Okay, well, at this particular school, Christian music is actually a really popular genre. These students are also very early to rise in the morning, and they're early to bed, so that sounds very sensible.
Yeah.
They're also very much into jazz. They listen to a lot of playlists surrounding jazz, and they also listen to a lot of music surrounding travel. I don't know, they probably make travel playlists. Huh. Maybe they're a traveling bunch.
So it really does vary. It varies from... not only from geographical area to geographical area, I assume in the South they're listening to country music, but even from school to school in the same area, you say it varies.
Absolutely. Like two schools in Virginia that we focused on, completely different. One school loves country music, loved Kenny Chesney. The other school wasn't interested in country music or Kenny Chesney. Really interesting.
Wow. Where can we get more information about this?
You can go to insights.spotify.com.
Okay, and what was the exact purpose of the survey? What to create? What type of results used as how?
Well, it was really just to give me an opportunity to chat to you.
Oh, stop it, Shannon! That wasn't the reason.
Well, a lot of our listeners on Spotify are very young. They're under the age of 25, and we just wanted to see how they're weaving music into their student life.
Perfect.
So it's been interesting.
Perfect. Hey, it's great talking to you.
Great chatting to you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Shannon Cook. Thanks.
Bye.
Oh, man, she is adorable. Shannon Cook, what a nice, wonderful, fine person. I love the way she said bye, 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 with her little, I think she's Australian. Bye, 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 bye. That is so nice. So cool. Anyway, do you hear what happened to Kim Kardashian? That's part one. Part two is, do you care? Kim Kardashian, who apparently a lot of people think is really attractive, and because she is, or people think she is, she started her own clothing line, and she has a reality show, and she just she's just the shining example on the planet of people that don't deserve really to even be noticed. She's attractive, but like so are a lot of people I know, so... I quite don't understand this, but her life is basically pure trash hell. And I want to tell you something, and I used to feel this way, and a lot of people in my industry did as well. where you really want to be popular. You want everybody to know who you are. You want everybody to like you. Which is why people go into the entertainment field. They want to be mass liked. And then Facebook comes around and everybody can like you on your own page. So, like, that doesn't mean anything anymore. But Kim Kardashian, man, you're out in the spotlight and now you're paying for it, honey. She went to Paris Fashion Week. Guess where that's held? Yeah, Paris, duh. And she gets out of her limousine and she's about to go into this venue. And the paparazzi are waiting. Man, I guess the word, paparazzi, I think is an Italian word. But man, in France, they just like, wow, they're like just on top of you like a fly on shit. I mean, many of these paparazzi. She gets out. There's at least 300 cameras, at least 300 paparazzi, at least. There's video of this. She gets out of the car. Some guy immediately tackles her, goes for her legs and her feet, and tries to tackle the lower part of her body. Now, Kardashian has bodyguards that she has with her at all times because stuff like this happens. And they immediately got the guy off of her legs and escorted her into the building. But in this video, you see just what she goes through and the kind of life she leads. And it's, I'm sure at one point in her life she wanted this. And I'm sure, I haven't talked to her, but I'm sure she just totally regrets it now. Because that is just a sucky way to live. People diving at your legs and shoving cameras. I'm not just saying in your face, but on your face. I mean, like, on it. Man, what a horrible, horrible, horrible life. And the more she tries to shake it, the more it'll probably come on her. And they say nasty things about her and make stuff up. Not to say that she doesn't deserve this, because she's a nobody, and this is what you get. But, man, even if she had a talent, I'd feel that, okay, maybe it's worth it for the world to somehow appreciate her great gift of life. But this woman's got no gift of life at all. And what a shambles of a life this lady has, and her whole family, and Bruce Jenner, the plastic face man, and all that. You guys are all just really part of this asshole club that I've just formed, of which we just have to put up another building because we can't fit all you assholes in one building anymore. We have to build a bigger boat because, man, just so many of you. There's tons of you. It's just masses of you. And of course, asshole is all in the eyes of the beholder. To some, I could be the leader of somebody else's asshole club. I don't know. I have no idea. But what a horrible, horrible life or a horrible live Kim Kardashian has. Sorry, honey. Oh, well, boo-hoo-hoo. She takes a picture of her baby. What is it called? North? I don't even know. Is that the one she's married to that... I don't even know what his name is. I don't follow this crap. Thank God. Thank God I don't. But she's married to Kanye West, is it? Yeah, it must be because of the name North, I guess, for the kid. Poor kid going through his life with the name of North. I think it's a guy. Could be a girl. I have no idea. You can't tell. North, it's just stupid. This guy's going to be teased like through his entire life. Just pitiful, the whole thing. So they take a picture of their baby North, that gets splashed all over the internet and everybody sees your baby. I mean, what a horrible, horrible, horrible life that is. You can't, if you pee on a toilet, there's going to be people outside trying to capture a picture of you urinating or defecating. I'm serious. They would. It would sell for a lot of money. That's how sick our society is. Just sick. It's a sick, 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 sick world. With that, at the same time, as I say all of this, I'm not just in here complaining 24 hours a day. I'm really not. Because as much as there is this total ignorance and assholeship all around me, at the same time, there is also goodness and deep-hearted, warm people and people who get it. And here's the deal. 85% of us get it. We understand it. we know that we have a responsibility, and we know that we need to respect other people, and we all need to get along so we can all be happy. 85% of us get that. The problem is the 15% that are ignorant and don't get that are the ones with all the power. And I guess the bottom line is, this is my supposition, assholeship begets power. That's the only way I can figure this out. Because for the most part, everybody is really, really good. And we all do strive for the same excellent, comfortable, secure life, to raise our families and to enjoy ourselves and to enjoy the planet and what has been given to us as a gift, the gift of life. And there are a small percentage of people that don't understand what that is. And I feel sorry for them. But, ladies and gentlemen, have yourselves a wonderful day. I do indeed wish you peace. I'll be back with you Monday. Until then, goodbye. Enjoy your weekend, ladies and gentlemen.